65. East Van Halen. She opened her power book on the counter of Big N's crypto kitchen, taking Wi-Fi for granted. None of her trusted networks were available, she was advised, but did she want to join B. Ant Van C1? The phrase trusted networks briefly made her feel like crying. She wasn't feeling as though she had any. Big End, she saw, pulling herself together, hadn't activated his WEP. No password required. But then he had Ollie, she supposed, who could eavesdrop on hundreds of other people's Wi-Fi at once, so maybe it all balanced out. She joined B. Ant Van C1 and checked her email. Nothing. No spam, even. Her phone rang in her purse. It was still attached to the scrambler. How would that work if it were anyone other than Big End? She answered, "Hello." "Just checking," said Big End, and suddenly she didn't want to tell him about Sarah. A reaction to her sudden sense of his ubiquity, if not yet actual, then potential. Once he was established in your life, he'd be there, in some way no ordinary person, no ordinary boss even, could be. Once she accepted him, past a certain point, there was always going to be the possibility of him ringing her up to say, "just checking," before she could even ask who was calling. Did she want that? Could she afford not to? "Nothing yet," she said, wondering if Ollie might not already have somehow transmitted their lunch conversation to Los Angeles. "I'm nosing around Odile's art circles here. She has a lot of them, though, and it can't be done too obviously. No telling who might let him know I'm here looking." "I think he's there," said Big End, "and I think you and Odile are currently our best chance of finding him." She nodded silently. "This is a big country," she said. "Why wouldn't he head somewhere he'd be less likely to be found?" "Vancouver is a port," said Big End, "a foreign container port, our pirate's chest. He's there to monitor the offloading, though not for the shippers." There was an utterly silent, digitized pause. "I want to set you up on a darknet we're having built for us."
"What's that?"
"In effect, a private internet, invisible to non-members. Scrambled phones, at this point, just serve as strings around our fingers to remind us of a fundamental lack of privacy. Ollie's working on it."
"Someone's here," she said. "Have to run."
She hung up. Leaving her power book open on the counter, its sticker-encrusted lid the most colorful thing in sight, aside from the view, she went upstairs, undressed, and had a long shower. Odile had opted for a post-lunch nap. She dried her hair and dressed, got back into jeans, sneakers. Finding the blue ant figurine in her clothes, she looked around for a perch for it, selected a head-high ledge of talcum-smooth concrete, and stood the ant on it, icon style. It made the ledge look slightly ridiculous. Perfect. She chanced on her passport as she was folding things and tossed it into the Barney's bag. She put on a dark cotton jacket, took her purse, and went down to the crypto kitchen, where she shut her power book and wrote Odile a note on the back of a Visa charge slip, which she left on the counter. "Back later, Hollis." She found the phaeton where she'd left it, followed Ollie's advice to remind herself how wide it was, did some work with the map from the glove compartment, avoided activating the GPS screen, it spoke if you let it, and drove out into late afternoon sunlight, feeling reasonably confident she could find Bobby's place, and not confident at all that she'd know what to do when she did. He didn't live that far from here, to judge by the map. Rush hour. After a few moves designed to get her headed east, cross town, she got with the flow, such as it was, edging more or less steadily eastward amid what she assumed to be commuters headed for eastern satellites. She saw that Bobby's place probably wasn't all that close, at least not psychogeographically. Big End's strata title, atop one tower in a variegated hedge of green glass, along what her map said was False Creek, was high-end 21st century. Here, she was driving into what remained of a light industrial zone, the way they'd built on railway land when land had been surplus. Not unlike the feel around Bobby's rental on Romaine, though studded now, here and there, with large pieces of brand new metropolitan infrastructure,
most of these apparently still under construction. When she finally turned left onto a wide north-south street called Clark, she was past the fancy infra bits and into a more low-down, more careworn architecture, a lot of it clapboard. Non-franchise auto repair shops, small manufacturers of restaurant furniture, chrome chairs recovered. At what she guessed was the foot of this wide street, suspended against distant mountains, some truly kick-ass Soviet constructivist project appeared to have been erected, perhaps in belated honor of a designer who'd earned himself a one-way to the gulag. Vast, crazy arms of orange-painted steel, canted in every direction, at every angle. What the hell was it, though? Big End's port, she guessed. And Bobby so close by. She turned right when she spotted Bobby's street. She'd lied to Big End, she admitted to herself now, and it was bothering her. She'd told him she'd work with him as long as he didn't hold back information or lie to her, and now she'd done exactly that to him. She wasn't comfortable with that. The symmetry was a little too obvious. She sighed. She drove to the end of the block, turned right again, and pulled over behind a rust-streaked dumpster with East Van Halen painted across its back in runny black spray bomb. She got her phone and Big End's scrambler out of her purse, sighed, and rang him back. He answered immediately. Yes? Odile's found his sister. Very good. Excellent. And? I'm near a place he has here. His sister told us where it is. She thinks this is where he'll be. She didn't see any need to tell him she'd known this when she'd last spoken with him. She'd squared things. Is that why you're a block east of Clark Drive? He asked. Shit, she said. This display only names the main streets, he said apologetically. This car's telling you exactly where I am. It's a factory option, he said. A lot of phaetons go to corporate fleets in the Middle East. Standard security feature there. Why did she tell you, by the way? Do you know? Because she's fed up with him, basically. Not an easy sibling. I just saw your port a minute ago. It's down at the foot of the street. Yes, he said. Handy. What are you going to do? I don't know, she said. Look around a little. Would you like me to send Ollie? No, I doubt I'll be long. If I don't see the car go back to the flat this evening, and I haven't heard from you, I'll send Ollie. Fair enough. She hung up. She sat there, looking at East Van Halen's dumpster. Beyond it, a few car lengths, was the opening into an alley. An alley that might lead, she supposed, to some rear entrance in whichever of these buildings was Bobby's. She got out, activating the phaeton's alarm system. You take care of your crypto-luxurious ass, she told it. I'll be back.
End of Disc 7.